My friends, we must not set out this culture war. We must get involved. We must roll up our sleeves and spit on our hands and become the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Others are becoming so concerned about our country, like myself. Others see the writing on the wall. Quite interesting that not everybody necessarily who professes faith in Christ sees the danger and the crisis. I got this letter this week from Brooks Patterson and from Judge Michael Warren. Dear Kent, as you know, our nation is at grave risk. As a free republic, we must act to protect our freedom. The next few months will be a historic pivot point for the future of our liberty. And no matter what happens, the struggle will continue. It's time to band together for the fight for our generation. And Brooks Patterson and Michael Warren have asked me to join a group of people in an attempt to talk about the danger that approaches. This coming election is the most important election in the history of the United States of America. We go one way or the other. We either become a nation like Sodom and Gomorrah, where same-sex marriage takes place when God says it's an abomination. I don't care what Washington says. They can't change the Bible. I'm not talking hate now. I'm just talking Bible. People talk about the Holocaust a lot, but doesn't hold a candle to the murder of 50 million babies. That was only 6 million Jews. We're talking about 50 million babies. The church sits quietly by, doesn't have a whole lot to say. There was an article that appeared in a small newspaper, the editorial up north, and someone sent it to me. I want to read it to you. It's a little lengthy. Let's see what you think. Some of it's going to hit home. You're not going to like some of it, maybe. What has America become? Has America become the land of the special interest and home of the double standard? Let's see. If we lie to the Congress, it's a felony. And if the Congress lies to us, it's just politics. If we dislike a black person, we're racist. And if a black dislikes whites, it's their First Amendment right. The government spends millions to rehabilitate criminals, and they do almost nothing for the victims. In public schools, you can teach that homosexuality is okay, but you better not use the word God in the process. You can kill an unborn child, but it's wrong to execute a mass murderer. We don't burn books in America. We now rewrite them. We got rid of the communists and the socialist threat by renaming them progressives. We are unable to close our border with Mexico, but we have no problem protecting the 38th parallel in Korea. If you protest against President Obama's policies, you're a terrorist. But if you burned an American flag or George Bush in effigy, it was your First Amendment right. You can have pornography on TV or the internet, but you better not put a nativity scene in a public park during Christmas. We have eliminated all criminals in America. They are now called sick people. We can use a human fetus for medical research, but it's wrong to use an animal. We take money from those who work hard for it and give it to those who don't want to work. We all support the Constitution, but only when it supports our political ideology. We still have freedom of speech, but only if we are being politically correct. Parenting has been replaced with Ritalin and video games. The land of opportunity is now the land of handouts. The similarity between Hurricane Katrina and the Gulf oil spill is that neither president did anything to help. And how do we handle a major crisis today? The government appoints a committee to determine who's at fault, then passes a law, raises taxes, tells us the problem is solved so they can get back to re-election campaign. What happened to the home of the free and the brave? Thought-provoking. You may not agree with all of it, but thought-provoking. America is not the America that I knew in 1960 as a teenager. I would not have believed in 1960, even though I heard many preachers saying it would happen. I just could not imagine us being where we are. But now, 50 years later, since I was a young boy, 50 years in the ministry, I'm reading in the Bible things that God said would come to pass, and they're coming to pass. The greatest fear that I have today, living my life here in this country, is with my government. I love my country. I fear my government. And if you read the 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th chapters of Revelation, you will find that government is the great Babylon of the Revelation, with a taint of religion mixed in. And that Babylon is called the great whore, which God will destroy. And I want you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 17. Everyone is not going to be comfortable, perhaps, today. Some may leave here angry. Some may not finish the service. But what I tell you today is the truth. And all you have to do is put your antennas up and you will receive the message. You will see it coming to pass. Revelation 17, verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth, presidents, political folks, have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now I want you to just skip over to the 18th chapter, verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Government. Look at verse 3. For all nations have drunk of the wine of wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth, business people, are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Economy's good, and government was making it so. Look at verse 9. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her. That is, when God judges government, He's going to ruin the economy. When they shall see the smoke of her burning. Verse 10 says, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. The latter part of verse 10. Verse 11, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. Verse 14, and all the fruits that thy soul lusted after departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee. And thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Verse 17, for in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. In other words, God destroyed it like that. If I were the devil, my great goal would be to create my own savior of the world. I would gradually increase the size of government so government could manage and pass out lots of gifts, so that government would become the great supply source of food and clothes and shelter and even a source of income. I would make multitudes government junkies. Let me say that again because I didn't get an amen. I would make the multitudes government junkies. That's not simply drug addicts and welfare people. That's merchants and businessmen who totally look to government. If I were the devil, I would convince the have-nots that rich people ought to share what they have with those who are not worthy. If I were the devil, I would have government officials saying things like, wealth in this nation should be redistributed. If I were the devil, I would destroy personal incentive and I would destroy capitalism so that everyone is on the same realm of the ladder. If I were the devil, I would convince every American citizen that those who reach the top didn't get there by themselves. They didn't get there by hard work and effort. And therefore, those who are at the top are the enemies of those who are at the bottom of the ladder. If I were the devil, my goal would be to make as many Americans dependent on government as I could. This is where we are. Do you see it? How many of you see it? It's here. Great. Many of you do not. I hope before this morning is over, you see it. Let me tell you the great danger here. Government, just here lately in the last year, has stepped boldly onto the church's turf. My friends, government is on the move. If you think Antichrist is sleeping, you are asleep. The devil is busy while we sleep. The government has grabbed chunks of moral truth and tradition from the church saying, we rather than you will decide. The Catholic Church government has just stepped on their turf. I want you to know, I'm not a Catholic, been a Baptist since I was a little boy. I got thrown out of the Baptist church, but I was in there for a while. And I'm not a Catholic, but I want to say this. Government has no business on the Catholic Church's turf. And I'll go to jail for that, for the Catholics, because next time it'll be the Baptists. The next time it'll be the Presbyterians. They'll come for us. The government does this under the guise of anti-discrimination or the right to privacy, civil liberties. Yeah. The government has begun erasing the traditional bounds of marriage, denying the unborn the right to life, and pushing God and godly virtues to the fringes of public life. The church has reason and obligation to speak and to speak loudly, and that I will do. All I ask is that you follow. This was taken out in every major newspaper across this country. This was in the Detroit News. In God we trust. I don't know who did it. He must have had lots of money. He or she. But he just put some quotes in here. I like them. Here's what the first president of the United States said. It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. That was the first president of the United States. I wish I could hear another president say that. John Adams, signer of the Declaration of Independence. We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. In other words, without Christian people, the Constitution will not work. That's what the writers of the Constitution says. The Constitution doesn't work without Christian people. That's why we're seeing on a regular basis now the president overriding constitutional issues. James Madison, the father of the Constitution, fourth president of the United States. Before any man can be considered as a member of civil society, he must be considered as a subject of the governor of the universe. I want to read a quote. I'm not going to read all of this. But I want to read a quote from a John Jay, first Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. Listen, we've heard a lot about the Supreme Court here lately. Listen to what the first justice of the Supreme Court said. The Bible is the best of all books, for it is the Word of God and teaches us the way to be happy in this world and in the next. We've come a long ways, haven't we? The wrong way. The wrong way. Now I know, and I'm sure that many of you are aware, that it is illegal for churches to participate in activity for or against a candidate for public office. I cannot get up here and tell you to vote for a certain person. I cannot do that. Not as your pastor. In public, I can say, as Kent Clark, I say this. But not as pastor. They would take away our 501c3, you know. They try to booger bear us with taking away our 501c3. But I'm going to scream like crazy. Ken Clark's going to scream. As a citizen, you ask me outside this building and don't address me as pastor, say, Kent, what do you think? I will tell you, as a member of this church, as a citizen of the United States of America, to register and to vote. And vote God. And vote Bible. I can do this too. I can speak the truth concerning same-sex marriage. It is wrong. How wrong is it, Pastor? It is so wrong that God sent fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah. You want to know how wrong it is? Look up the word sodomy. Is anybody awake in here? Say, well, Pastor, you're preaching hate. I don't hate anybody. There's not hate in my heart. There's sorrow. Because I'm going to tell you, homosexuality does not work. Because it is not natural. The Bible says so. It doesn't work. In the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, nobody wants to talk about this. You're not going to hear this in most churches. But God saw Lot and his people down there and sent angels, men, angels as men, to his house. And the Sodomites banged on the door. Lot went to the door and he said, I'll give you my daughters. Just go away. They're all virgins. I'll give you my daughters. Must have been insane. And the men said, we don't want your daughters. We want these beautiful, handsome young men. It's wrong. Let me say it one more time. You ought to be on your feet. It's wrong. I know this is America. And America and sodomy will go on because of the depravity of man. But I'm going to tell you this. No way, no how should you vote for sodomy. No way. You think we're in trouble now? Look what happened in Colorado. Well, I don't understand that. Understand it. 50 million babies, same-sex marriage, outlaw God, get out of our country, get out of our schools, metal detectors, you don't understand that in our schools? Police dogs patrolling the halls of our schools, you don't understand that? You don't understand why kids are killing kids? You don't understand it? Because we've left the Word of God. It's not hard to understand. We are becoming a nation that cannot be ruled. The Constitution will not hold this nation. Only God in this nation can keep this nation together. A government for the people and of the people. I'm not for the Church of England or the Church of America. I love the liberties that we have here. The free right of speech. I want us to continue to have that. I see people burning the American flag, which grieves me. I'll tell you this. I told the first crowd this. You go to Iraq or Iran and burn their flag, they'll cut off your arms and feet and hang you from the tallest tree. You burn the flag and talk about America. If you don't like it, get out. Go to Iraq. And behave yourself over there and see what happens. The Bible says this, that righteousness exalts a nation. Say, well, Pastor, we're not saved by works. I know we're not saved by works, and you know I know that. But I'm going to tell you this. God is righteous. And I still do wrong. I do a lot of wrong. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm against the wrong that I do. I'm on God's side. And righteousness is the only thing. Righteousness and accountability and discipline are good and wonderful. That's why some of you are in here over Grace Centers of Hope. You're over Grace Centers of Hope. You hate the rules. You hate this. You hate that. You don't like the accountability. But I'm going to tell you, what did you do before you got there? When you had no accountability. Accountability makes your life better. Some of you haven't used in a week. That's great. And the only reason you didn't is because you was afraid you were going to have to drop. That's called accountability. It's good. You made it a week. Because you was afraid the cup was coming. Oh, we're real here. The Bible says, Proverbs 11:11 says this, through the blessings of the upright, a city is exalted. Huh? Through the blessings of the upright, who do you think has blessed this city? Grace Gospel Fellowship and Grace Centers of Hope. God has used to bless this city. It wouldn't surprise me at all if this city comes back. I mean, we hit bottom. Bankrupt. Wretched. No police department. No fire department. $10 million in debt. And yet, little Grace Centers of Hope and Grace Gospel Fellowship, we just keep trucking right along here. Houses are remodeled, redone. People getting their lives back. You know, this is funny. Most of you know I got that Michiganian thing. Isn't that funny? I'm a screaming preacher at a rescue mission. How does things like that happen? I'm a nobody. Nobody pays any attention to me. And yet, God says, well, you know, he's kind of helping people over there. We ought to give him something. God does those kind of things. Somebody said, I'm amazed they gave you that. Me too. We are not to sit idly by while the wicked rule, without doing what we can to change things. No nation has ever come this far and turned back. Say, well, you mean there's no hope? Oh, there's hope. God can turn this thing around. That's what I want him to do. I really do. Don't want anybody to get hurt. Too bad. I just want to see it turn around. I want us to invite God back. You know, since God's been gone, some of you have heard me pray that prayer that I prayed in the Senate since you've been gone. Since you've been gone, lots has happened. And none of it good. No good can happen when God's not around. You do know that, right? Christians are to be model citizens. We're to render to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. That's what Mark 12:17 says. We're to pay our taxes. Just hope they don't get too high. Just let me throw this in. The reason taxes are high is because government's got its nose in things it shouldn't have its nose in. Let me tell you just one. Government, a good parent, does not make. So we have 800,000 foster care kids who are five times as likely to be murdered by foster care parents than they are their drug addicted parents. You know why? Because government's paying people to keep kids who don't love kids. It's a job. And so they abuse them. God didn't ordain government to do that. God ordained you and I to do that. The church. Absolutely. If the church hadn't been asleep, government wouldn't have taken over. We ought to have orphanages. We ought to be taking care of the little ones. There's so many things we ought to be doing instead of paying the preacher and hearing sermons that, you know, fit the bill and then going home and forgetting about the world. Listen to me. The greatest mission field in this world is the United States of America, and you better believe it. And I hope more of you seek public office as a calling. I was telling the first service that when I was a kid in the Baptist church, young men would come forward and say, God's called me to preach. I want folks to come forward and say, God has called me to be a senator to the United States of America. God's called me to be mayor of Pontiac. Say, well, I got a felony. Who cares? Run. God saved you by His grace, right? You're not what you used to be. You know, people think that if you use drugs, you're just some kind of idiot, that there's no hope, you're not smart, you're not intelligent. They call you those people. We're all users. But what a miracle it would be. My great dream is that the city council members, one day of Pontiac, are all graduates of Grace Centers of Hope. I'd love to go to a city council meeting and, hi, Pastor, how are you doing? I'd love that. I've been thrown out of some of those city council meetings. I want you to think about this. There's nothing more that Christian American people need to fear more than big government. So, oh, now you're going to get, I know where you're going now. I got you now. You're going toward one of those parties, political parties. I'm not talking politics. I'm telling you flat out. You need to fear big government. Because God in His Word says that big government is going to take over the world. And big government becomes the savior. Don't take anything from the state. You know, join me in saying this. I've said this for 25 years. I don't want your money. First of all, it's not your money. You know there's no such thing as government money. Where'd they get their money? Hey, that's right. I saw a hand go up. They got that money from us. That's our money. Fear government. There's only one Savior. And that's Jesus Christ. There's only one Lord. That's Jesus Christ. You know, if you could just do this, trust God. Trust God. I was thinking about this last night in this study. You know, I collect coins, especially silver dollars. Anyway, you know, I got out one of these old silver dollars. Let me see what this one is. 1885. Do you know what it says on the back of an 1885 silver dollar? Let me read it to you. In God we trust. Well, I wonder when that changed. Here's a 1903. Let me read what it says on the back. What about that? In God we trust. I got a brand spanking new silver dollar from the U.S. Mint. You know what it said on the back? In God we trust. But we don't. We don't. You know, there's been several little movements over the past 20 years that I can remember to take "In God we trust" off. Oh, it's coming. Oh, it's coming. And let me tell you this. If the church keeps sleeping, the same folks who took God out of the schoolroom will take "In God we trust" off the coins and our paper money. It's time for the church to say, no! I am a registered voter. No. You know what politicians understand? No! You do it, I'll never vote for you. Amen. It's hard for me to stay out of the snake's den in the sense of getting involved and running for office. It is difficult for me to stay out. I mean, I wrestle with that. Because I just would love to see somebody stand up and say this. I'm running for office. I want you all to know that I believe there is a creator of the heavens and the earth. And I believe that abortion is murder. And I believe that God's way is the best way. And now you can see it. Don't mention God. If you're a politician, don't mention God. You've got to balance yourself. Who said so? Look at history. Just read the history of this nation. Everyone in here ought to read the history of America. You ought to read it. It's just God, 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 God. All of the politicians are going to church. Just read it. And we are one nation under God. And what President Reagan said is right. Absolutely right. We will be a nation under God or one nation gone under. We have our choice. We have our choice. One nation under God. I had someone say to me the other day, well, you know, I will pledge to the Christian flag, but I won't pledge to the flag of the United States of America. Come off it. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. I'm not ashamed of that. And to the republic for which it stands. One nation under God. So this is really how simple it is. Here's how simple it is. Let me put it in easy terms. It's either God or we're going under, baby. It's either or. It's not difficult, church. It's really not difficult. And well, you know, Pastor, these things really shouldn't be talked about in a place of worship, Pastor. I think these are things for the Senate and the Congress and the House and, you know, the powers that be. The powers that be have messed up things already. Government. The founders of this nation never intended government to get this big. No way, no shape, no form. Government's out of control. And if it were not so serious, it would be funny to watch. I watch the news and think, they're all nuts. You know, our budget at Grace Centers is $5.3 million. But if I'm spending $16 million as a CEO, I'm just spending it like crazy. Grace Centers of Hope is getting in more debt, more debt, more debt, more debt. And I go, we can always print more money. Just keep the presses running. And you know what? You know why I like silver dollars? Because an ounce of silver is worth $20. You know what your dollar bill? Take out your dollar bill. You got a dollar bill in your pocket? You know what it's worth? Doodly squat. It has no backing. It's a piece of paper. It's just like your bulletin. Take your bulletin to the store after church and see if that'll, see how that works. That's what your dollar bills are. Does anybody know? Am I right about that? That's just a piece of paper. You know, there was a time in this country when that paper money was all backed with gold. Remember Fort Knox? That's in Kentucky. You remember Fort Knox? That's where all the gold is hid and stored. Yeah. Now China's got it. If we really understood this, we'd be weeping on our face begging God to come back. Elder Gary read those passages of Scripture where the prophet was accused of being the troubler of Israel. Are you the one that troubles Israel? No, you are. I'm not the troublemaker. We got trouble. Trouble in my way, and it's big trouble. And the question, and probably the thing that bothers me the most is, here we sit. You'll notice that this church is not a sitting church. At least the leadership is not. We're not about sitting. You're constantly being probed and pushed. I don't know anything about holding the fort. I say we take it. I don't know anything too much about defense. I like to carry the ball. I like to give hell more trouble than hell gives me. I'd like for this church to be known in hell. You better not get near that church. I'm telling you, they're dangerous. That church is dangerous. You know, I thought while we were singing Blessed Assurance, I thought during our praise and worship, did you get goosebumps? I'm telling you, the Spirit of God dropped on this place while we were singing. He did. Have all of our singers gone? I'd like to sing that one more time and really... Let's stand and go out of here positive that we're going to make a difference. We're going to be used of God in whatever way we can to bring our nation back.